Now, how did you first become involved with Jekyll?
Again, I'd worked with the producers, Hartswood Films, some years ago now, actually, on a comedy drama that they made. And so when they were looking for a composer, they called me up and said, would I be interested in coming along and having a chat with the director, which I did, and we got on well, and they said, well, will you write something for the title music, and then we can see if we feel, you know, we're all thinking along the same lines. And so that's what I did. I came up with the theme, which ended up being the main theme of the show that you hear over the very opening titles. And they liked that main theme, and so working together on it, and it's quite unusual to do that, really, to write a theme without, because I hadn't seen the programs. That came just from the script.
Right.
And from speaking with the director and the producer and getting an idea of how they were going to shoot it and the kind of character that James Nesbitt, how he was going to play it, you know. And I just wrote something based on that, not having seen any of the footage. And it was quite unusual that that ended up staying and remaining and being the title theme, because I was sure that once I'd seen it, I'd want to write something different. But in actual fact, I didn't. I saw it and I thought, yeah, this is going to work, and it was great.
Okay, so how often is that? How often does that happen where you don't see, you're essentially writing blind?
Well, usually I write with pictures in front of me. I mean, it wasn't really writing blind because I did have the script, which I'd read, and I also had all the, you know, the conversations with the director and the producer, so it wasn't really writing blind, but it wasn't with the pictures in front of me. It wasn't with watching James Nesbitt's performance, which was so fantastic.
Yes.
So, I didn't have that inspiration. But then, you know, it was just the title music. And then once I'd seen the show, I wove that into the rest of the score, and I found a way of using that theme in various different ways. And I wrote other themes and the main, you know, the rest of the music, which, and there was a lot of music in the program. So there was a lot to do. But it was just that writing from a script is quite unusual.
Okay. Now, do you musically differentiate between the two characters of Jekyll and, or rather Hyde, and Tom Jackman, or thematically, how do you approach that?
It's interesting because I didn't want there to be a kind of black and white Jekyll and Hyde theme, because I thought that would be, in a way, too distracting. Because the way it happens in the show is that he just transforms. You never see one of these kind of special effects transformations, which was never the intention. So he's just there. He goes through a transformation and he's there. So there was never one of those kind of Incredible Hulk moments, you know, where he turns into the Hyde. So I didn't want anything that would do that musically. So I wrote a theme which you hear at the opening, which then weaves into the other themes in the programs. And there are darker versions of it. There are moments where it gets quite tender at the end. But the Jekyll and Hyde theme is kind of one theme, really. I mean, at the end when he gets killed, or they attempt to kill him and shoot him, you hear the main theme. I used a voice. Of Hayley Westerner. I don't know if she's well known in Canada. Do you know that name?
Not familiar, no.
All right, okay. She's very big in the UK, and she's very big in New Zealand, because she's born in New Zealand. She's got this very haunting voice, and the idea of the Jekyll theme and using her voice really came from the director, because he wanted a kind of female side to Jekyll, because his wife plays a huge part in the whole story, but you don't really know how big a part until the very end of the series. So it was his idea to use a solo female voice, and once I started using that, then the theme kind of grew from there.
Okay. So how involved does the producer become in your work, or are you just told, go compose and bring me back and see how it works?
No, I mean, they're very involved, and the collaboration is a very important part of the process. And it's something that I really enjoy, because composing can be quite a lonely job if you're on your own the whole time at the keyboard or at the piano, which you know, I write at the piano. So it's lovely to have that collaboration, that feeling that you're working with someone. And I like to get the director involved as early as possible so I can get inside their head and work out what it is that they want to achieve with the music and, you know, how I can help the story as best I can with the music. So we have lots of discussions at the very beginning. We chat about the style and the mood of the piece. And then I'll go away, and obviously I have to write on my own. I can't write with somebody kind of looking over my shoulder. But I write on my own. I come up with the ideas, and then I mock them up on keyboards and samples and kind of mock up the orchestra by playing in each individual part into my computer so that it sounds, you know, if I'm using an orchestra, it'll sound like a kind of orchestra.
Right.
And then the director will come over and have a listen to the mock-ups and talk about it and comment on it. And then I'll possibly rewrite stuff, reshape things that aren't working for them. And then, you know, it'll develop slowly and evolve slowly. But I think it's very important to have the other creative members of the team involved in the music because it's a very personal process, and music is a very personal thing to everybody, and what might appeal to me might not necessarily appeal to the director, so it's important that we iron those things out quite early on.
Okay. Now, how long are you given to write an individual episode of Jekyll?
Well, Jekyll was really fast, and I maybe had 2 weeks on each episode. So that 2 weeks is spent writing initially, then orchestrating, and then preparing all the parts for the orchestra and the musicians and the singers, and then going into the studio to record it. So it's a pretty packed 2 weeks. You've got a lot to do, and that also involves having sessions with the director and producer, making sure everybody's happy with it. So it's pretty intense.
Now, do you prefer to conduct your own scores?
Yes, I do. I love the conducting process because it's a sort of treat at the end because you've been working so much on your own with the, you know, at the piano and then with the director. And this is a chance to get into the studio with the musicians and really realize the score that you've had in your head. And I don't like giving that over to a conductor because I would then have to brief that conductor so intensely about what it is that we've all been discussing and how we want the music to sound. And I know all that by the time I get in the studio, so it's much easier for me to conduct. And I really enjoy that now. At first it was quite scary getting up in front of a huge orchestra and conducting. But now I really enjoy it, and I love working with musicians, and they're so talented, and they bring so much to it. And I go to the studio thinking, gosh, you know, this is how it's going to sound in my head. And then they play it and suddenly bring it to life and make it even better than I could have imagined in my head. So it's a lovely part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned the process of mocking up your scores first before you take it into the recording studio.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into the problem as well? If it sounds so good mocking it up, why don't you just leave it that way?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it can happen that the mock-ups are so good and they do sound quite realistic. But to be honest, you just cannot replace an orchestra with a sample string section. You can't replace a piano with a sample piano. You know, those instruments are completely irreplaceable by machines. And thank goodness they are, really, because otherwise all musicians would be out of a job, apart from people that, you know, can actually sample.
Right.
So I'm really pleased that you can't make them sound that good. Mm-hmm. I mean, on Jekyll, I used some otherworldly sounds that weren't created by orchestra. And that's how I think they should be used. You know, that's how I think samples and electronics should be used, by creating things that you can't create with an orchestra or with live instruments. But, you know, if I want to hear a flute or a clarinet, I want the real thing. And that's the same with strings. I don't want to hear a kind of sampled version of those. So, you know, if there isn't a big budget for a project, I'll figure out a way of using just two or three live instruments and then maybe other electronic sounds that sound great. But I never like to try and pretend that we've got an orchestra if we haven't, because I always think that sounds a little bit cheap. And I like the music to sound, you know, real if possible,
right.
If it's supposed to be real. And if it's supposed to be electronic and otherworldly, like, you know, something space age, science fiction,
mm-hmm.
futuristic, then that's great. But not to pretend you've got a flute and use a sample flute when you haven't. That doesn't really appeal to me.
So how big is the orchestra you're working with on Jekyll?
Well, Jekyll was not huge. I mean, we had about 20 players in the orchestra. It was mostly strings and a little bit of woodwind, but all the and obviously Hayley on vocals,
mm-hmm.
and then lots of other worldly sounds, and the percussion was electronic, because, funnily enough, although we had a little bit of percussion in the room, just some handheld shakers and things like that, whenever I thought about using real bass drums or, you know, real tom-toms or anything like that, mm-hmm. they kind of sounded a bit too ordinary because they were real, and I felt that the electronic stuff sounded more modern, sat better in with the strings and the other things I used real. They sounded slightly more odd and electronic, which felt much better for the film. The more traditional percussion, you know, bass drums, hi-hats, tom-toms, didn't feel quite right.
What is the most rewarding aspect of composing music for Jekyll?
I think it's the same on anything, any project. The most rewarding aspect of it is getting into the studio and hearing it played for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and it working better, hopefully, than you could have ever imagined in your head. It's, you know, it's bringing it to life. It's having your music played by fantastic musicians and performed to a really high standard. And, you know, everybody hopefully being happy with the result. It's not just for me being happy with it. I like it when everybody else is happy and when the director's happy and he feels that it's brought his drama to life. Then it's a great feeling because you feel like you've really done a good job.